Good morning. Greetings in Jesus' name. Let's bow for prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for the blessing it is to gather in your name, look into your word. We pray that you would be blessed today. We thank you for the safe travel that each of us had today. Do pray that you would be with me this morning, that your word would be proclaimed, and that we would be blessed by what you would have to share with us this morning. I give you many thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to go over a few verses here in Acts chapter 1. The title I gave this anyway is A Question for Jesus, and that's specifically talking about verse 6. So a question for Jesus, and I like to start off just by reading that question here. I guess halfway through the verse, the disciples ask, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? So that's the question that the disciples asked Jesus. Leading up to this particular point here of Acts, I had to think back a little bit and just to try to, in my mind, kind of get a little bit of background of what it helps to help me see what's going on. So a little time before this, starting with the crucifixion, if we think about that for a second, Jesus died on the cross for the sins of mankind, for everybody. Think of the disciples, I guess, through this time, not specifically of Jesus, but what they went through. Here is their leader, the one who they considered the Messiah, the one who was going to do what it says there in that question, restore the kingdom of Israel. Here he is. He is killed. He is crucified. His body doesn't breathe anymore. What a emotional roller coaster they must have been on. So here he has this, I guess if we back up a little bit, we have Jesus going into Jerusalem on a colt, and he was proclaimed as great. And then it didn't go so well as far as humankind goes. And he was crucified with two thieves. Then the next day, some women went to the tomb, and he wasn't there. Peter and John went, and he wasn't there. And then he miraculously, you know, I'll say out of the blue, so to speak, he showed up. There he was. He was alive. See, I just think about the disciples' point of view. It's like, you know, we have, things are going great. The kingdom of Israel is going to be, come back again. Oh, he died on the cross. What's going on here? He's alive. We see him again. He's teaching us. You know, their emotions have just got to be right on the edge. And that's what we're looking at here at the beginning of Acts, is people are very sensitive to what's going on. I mean, just one thing after another. Now, I guess I should have, but I didn't look to see what the approximate times were here. It talks about a little bit in here, but I guess I didn't really think of that point until right now. But, you know, it wasn't real long, anyway, for this to happen. And so I'd like to read the first 14 verses with that understanding of that these are people that just, I would say, you know, to use a saying that we might say today, has gone through the ringer. They've really gone through a lot of things. So here in Acts chapter 1, the former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days. Oh, there we go. He was saw them 40 days. And speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, Ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost, not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive the power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up in a cloud, received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward the heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall also come in like manner, as ye have seen him go into heaven. Then return they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into the upper room, where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, with his brethren. So here we have the first 14 verses of Acts, with the understanding here that what Jesus had gone through, teaching them, as it said there, for 40 days. With all that thought, that must have been a pretty important question to them. Jesus gave them some instruction. Jesus' instruction is there at the end of verse 4 and verse 5. Wait for the promise of the Holy Father. Try that again. But wait for the promise of the Father, which he saith, Ye have heard of me. So he already told them this. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. So there's his instruction. And then their response to that, their question concerning going to Jerusalem and waiting, is, Lord, wilt thou this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? You know, let's turn to Luke chapter 17. In Luke chapter 17, the beginning of the chapter here, we have 10 lepers that were healed, and then starting in verse 20, we have, I'll say a question. Maybe it's a statement. It's written in my Bible as a statement, but maybe it's a question. Verse 20 of Luke 17 says, And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said. So we have kind of the same point. But it comes across a little bit differently here. Demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come. So I had to stop here and what do I think of that? What do I think about the coming of the kingdom of God? We have two different ways of going about it. We have one from the teachers of the law, the ones who are the religious leaders, and we have the ones from Jesus' disciples who are we'll call them the seekers, the people who are desiring to learn from Jesus. They're his disciples there. His actual, he goes on from verse 20 through 37. Maybe I'll read a little bit of that. And at the end of verse 20, Jesus' response starts, The kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither shall they say, Lo here, or Lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. See, this is kind of why I say, well, what do I think about the kingdom of God? There's a lot of stuff to contemplate there. Verse 22, and he said unto the disciples, the days will come when ye shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and ye shall not see it. And they shall say to you, see here or see there, go not after them, nor follow them. For as the lightning that lighteth out of one part under heaven shineth unto the other part under heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day. But first must he suffer many things and be rejected of this generation. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. And then he continues on there, but he's telling them what's going to happen. You know, this isn't what's going on here in Acts isn't the first time that they were introduced to this. Verse 37, I wrote down here is his more of his direct answer. Says, well, and they answered, being the disciples, and said unto him, Where, Lord? And he said unto them, Where are these things going to happen? And it's wheresoever the body is, thither the eagles will be gathered together. Wow, what an answer. What do you do with that? You know what, how do you make that answer? How do you make that answer work? Wheresoever the body is, thither will the eagles be gathered together. So, you know, where there's a dead body, then the scavengers will come. Okay, that's when these things are going to happen. And that, again, is related to when the kingdom of God is going to come back. So they got an answer, but what did they do with that answer? If I look to Luke chapter 19 here, to read verse 11, and this is kind of in the middle of the account here of Zacchaeus. Maybe I'll go to verse 9. Verse 9 says, And Jesus said unto him, and this is concerning Zacchaeus, This day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. So I read that verse to kind of, again, give the idea that the thought with the people who are following Jesus, who are around him, is that the kingdom of God is going to immediately appear. So this isn't something that just these disciples have in their mind, that Jesus is going to bring about the kingdom of God, or maybe through a different way, but somehow or another, they thought that the kingdom of God was going to come. So when the disciples asked that question there in verse 6 of Acts chapter 1, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? That is an honest question. That is a question that was on their heart. That was an important question to them. This isn't something that they contemplated for the first time. You know, that's what did, kind of going off memory, so hopefully it's right, Andrew say to Peter when Andrew first basically said, he would talk to Peter about Jesus, didn't he say something like he found the Messiah? And who is the Messiah? The Messiah is the one who is going to be the Savior. He's going to be the one who introduces the kingdom of God. But Jesus answered that question a little bit earlier, and he's told the Pharisees, and he told the Sadducees, and everybody else who was listening there in chapter 17, he told them, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither shall They say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. That's where the kingdom of God is. Did Jesus come to bring the kingdom of God to earth? Absolutely. And we have this, we have the working towards that here. So again, back to Acts chapter 1, verse 6. They're masking Jesus if he was going to restore the kingdom to Israel again. I find that is a very honest question. There are three things that I wrote down that I guess that it teaches me, that it tells me, that it shows me. The first point that this question illustrates to me is to be honest with God. Okay? So the first point, that's what I believe the disciples were here. They were honest with Jesus. Their question was what was on their heart, because they saw all these things happen and they thought this must be it. In order to be honest before God, I must not portray myself to God as more spiritual than I am or less spiritual than I am. Okay, I guess in some ways, you know, maybe today, some people might be tempted in with a false humility. Some people may be tempted with a false righteousness, whatever, but I need to be honest before God. I had to think of the account of the Father in Mark chapter 9, verse 24, when he said, help my unbelief. That was a man who was honest before God. Jesus, he had the opportunity to say, I believe, absolutely. But did he? He said, his point was, help my unbelief. That's one thing, that the first thing that that question illustrates to me. The second thing is to be willing to listen. I'm going to say that the disciples heard every word that Jesus said. But that doesn't necessarily mean that they understood it the way he meant it to be understood. I need to be willing to listen. I see here that Jesus is telling them that he is going to fulfill that very question, is when they're going to restore the kingdom of God. But they had a different answer in mind. But he had already told them that the kingdom of God is within them. I need to be willing to listen to what God is saying and not make it what I want him to say. In a sense, it's like prayer. You know, prayer, and I'm going to use prayer as kind of the illustration. Prayer is a conversation. You know, Jesus received power from on high. Jesus spoke to God. He received from God. Prayer is a conversation. It's not a monologue. God wants to hear what his people have to say, and God wants to speak and answer those. That's the second point, is to be willing to listen. The third point, well, actually, let me back up. I notice here in my notes that something I don't want to skip over is he can speak in many different ways. Okay, God just doesn't have one way to speak. He can speak through his word, as we read. He can speak through our conscience. You know, he gives every man a conscience, every woman a conscience. He can speak through a brother's. He can speak through a child. All these are illustrations that are in the scripture of how God speaks. He can speak through nature. He does speak through nature. Romans tells us we're without excuse just because we see all that goes on around us. He can speak through animals. He can speak through, you know, great leaders, Pharaoh. He can speak through anything he wants. God speaks through multiple different ways, and I need to be willing to listen. The third point that this question illustrates is don't be afraid to be wrong. That one some of us have a little bit harder time with. Okay? One thing I have to remember, that if I'm never wrong, I can't be corrected. Okay? Then where would that fit me? Well, I'll tell you right where that would fit. Let me turn back to Luke chapter 17 and read that verse there in verse 20. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, That's where it would fit. Right there. Right with the Pharisees. The people who could not be taught anything. They already knew it all. Where did I write that down? In Matthew chapter 9, verse 13... I'm going to read it starting in verse 9 here of Matthew chapter 9. And as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom, and he saith unto him, Follow me. And he arose and followed him. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, Why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. For I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Somebody knows everything. There's nothing to teach them. I need to be willing to be taught. So that's what I see the disciples doing here. They are they're willing to be instructed. They may be asking the same question the fourth time or the 10th time or the 15th time. I have no idea how many times they had this conversation. But they are willing to be corrected. They're willing to be taught. Willing to be wrong. You know, I've heard this somewhere. I don't know. I'm not sure if other people have said it here or not. But, you know, the thought came into my mind of the saying that says, if you don't stand for something or anything, so if you don't stand for anything, you won't stand. The point is we need to do what we know to do, and then God is willing to correct us, so we need to be willing to be corrected. Now, there's only one perfect man in Scripture. Only one perfect man that's ever lived, and that's Jesus. But there are many men and women that are well spoken of in God's Word. That doesn't mean they're perfect by any means, but they're well spoken of. So again, get to back to that false humility thing. We don't want to be there, and we don't want to think too highly of ourselves, but God is willing and desires to honor those that obey Him and follow His ways. A question that I had was, should I have used a different title? When I was looking at this morning, after I had already written, kind of looking it over, I thought, well, maybe the title should be, Does God Have My Attention? You know, because if God doesn't have my attention, then these things aren't going to come up. Okay? God had the disciples' attention. Jesus had their attention. They are listening. They're desiring to do it as well. They don't know. They're being instructed. Now, there's a world of difference between the way the disciples, the 12 apostles, behaved themselves in the Gospels and the way they behaved themselves from Acts and on, because of this very reason, the very reason that Jesus is giving them this instruction, so that they can have the kingdom of God within them. The kingdom of God within the person is what makes the difference of being an overcomer, of being somebody who tries really hard and can't get there. Has that ever happened to you? No matter how hard you try, it's not good enough. Well, sometimes that's the case. We can try really hard in our own strength to get something done, and it'll never be good enough. And I think the disciples have learned that lesson here. And that's why when we go on to verse 7, Jesus starts to answer these questions. The disciples were told here what to do in verses 4 and 5. And so let's read these answers, the answers to that question there in verse 6, what Jesus had to say. And here in verse 7, and he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. So that's Jesus' response to the question of, when is he going to restore again the kingdom of Israel? They were wondering if that was the next step that was going to happen. And Jesus' answer was, it's not for you to know. How's that for an answer? Here's your best question, and he says, it's not for you to know. It's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. Now that's a whole different subject that I really would want to spend a lot more time on, is the seasons and the, you know, God does tell us that we need to watch and pray. But when it comes to this particular point, Jesus didn't want to get distracted. He wanted to explain what was truly going to happen. So he told them, it's not for you to know, but ye shall receive power. Okay, so they're going to receive that power he talked about in John chapter 14. You know what? That chapter is amazing. And in the middle of that chapter, or I should say throughout that chapter, it's talking about a lot about the Comforter coming, but it also talks about, if you love me, you'll obey me. And he's going to go away, and he's going to send the Comforter. And that's exactly what he's talking about here in verse 8. Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. So once the Holy Ghost comes upon them, then they're going to receive the power that God wants them to have. Isn't that kind of the question that they were asking, though? You know, about the kingdom of God coming? You know, is this where you're going to take charge? You know, you're going to show your power and overcome the evil deeds of this world? And Jesus says, you're going to receive the power, but it's through the Holy Ghost. It's going to dwell within each of you. They should have the assurance of what Jesus is able to give at this point, of knowing that this is going to be, because at some point, it's all going to start making sense to them. All his teachings are going to all fall into place. As we know from reading the rest of Scripture, that does happen. But Jesus laid the groundwork through his teachings so that they can stand mightily on what his instructions are. His instructions aren't, don't look outside, you know, look inside. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all of Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. So he tells them more than answering his question. He gives them an application for the question, for the answer, I should say. He gives them an application for the answer to the question. So he brings more to them than what they really asked. Am I listening for Jesus' answer, or am I demanding like what the Pharisees did there back in Luke chapter 17? A couple of examples here I'd like to get to of people who either asked questions or statements were made, and they got responses that they weren't looking for. Okay, just so that you know that this isn't the only place this happens, I had to think of Paul when he was denied to go to Asia. Okay, so Paul wanted to, he wrote the people in Asia exactly, I forget, I didn't write down the towns and different places that he was writing to there in Acts chapter 16, but Paul was denied the opportunity to go to Asia. Peter, this is more of a statement, Peter told Jesus that Jesus didn't have to suffer. Well, if you remember what Jesus' response with Peter to that, don't really think that Peter expected that response there in Matthew chapter 16. Another question James and John asked Jesus, who would sit on their right and left hand there in Mark chapter 10. Who is going to be the most important in the kingdom of heaven? Sitting on Jesus' right and left hand. Well, the response that Jesus gave was, can you do this? Can you do this? Can you do this? And they said, yes, we can. And Jesus says, yes, yes, you can. And yes, you will. But that is not for me to give. Don't really think they expected that particular response. They might have expected a response, but I'd be surprised if it was that one. And then I had to think of Martha. Another statement here. Martha's brother Lazarus died, and Martha was told by Jesus that Lazarus will, you know, did she believe that he would rise? And her response was, yes, he will rise again at the last day. Did she expect him to raise Lazarus from the dead at that point? So there's a lot of different places, and those are the ones that just kind of rolled off the top of my head there. You know, so this isn't new. If we get a response, if I get a response that I don't expect, that's to be expected. So think of those, or maybe pick one. Did those people, did Paul, did Peter, did James and John, did Martha, did they listen to what Jesus had to say? Did it affect their lives? Now, you can't just stop at that one point. You have to go on. And that's why I say think about it. Just take one and just run it through. Did you know the way Paul behaved, and he wasn't able to go to Asia. He went to Macedonia instead. He wasn't able to go to Asia. How did that affect his life? Was it positive? Was it negative? You know, just contemplate that. But just like in Acts chapter 1 here, each of those questions or statements, Jesus basically said, this is what I will do for you. Every time they asked or made a statement, just like here, Jesus answered. He said, this is what I'm going to do for you. He told Paul, no, you can't go to Asia, but go over here. This is what I have to do for you. He told Jesus that he has to suffer for payment of sins. This is what I have to do for you. I don't know, you know, your statement is wrong, but I'm going to do this for you instead. James and John. It's not a very similar answer to Acts. It's not for you to know. It's not for Jesus to decide. Those places are prepared for whom God the Father has for. Maybe it will be them. Maybe it won't be. But through Jesus asking them those questions, they have a place of honor in heaven. Because yes, they will suffer. And Martha, she received her brother. She says, yes, he will rise again on the last day. And Jesus had something else for her. She received her brother back to life in a very miraculous way in John chapter 11. Thinking specifically of verses 25 and 26. through verses 9 through 11, we see the account of Jesus returning back up to heaven into a cloud. He's fulfilling his teachings there in John chapter 14, verses 1 through 4. You know, I think it was Thomas who was asking some questions there. And Jesus says, you will come, but you can't come right now. You know, there's a lot. There's a lot there. He, in Daniel chapter 7, is a prophecy toward this as well. So Jesus is fulfilling the scriptures here in verses 9, 10, and 11. To finish up here in verses 12 through 14, the disciples' response to Jesus' answer was to wait and pray. As it says here, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with all the brethren. Those disciples, that's why I kind of like to use the word disciples, not just the apostles. Those disciples of Jesus, those who are willing to learn, came to God in prayer and supplication, waiting for the infilling of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. They were following Jesus' instructions. They did learn. They heard it. That's exactly what they did. When he said, wait for the promise of the Father, which ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. That's what they were waiting for. They understood it. So to conclude this morning, I'd like to borrow another phrase from people who drive a car. When you come up to a railroad crossing, okay, driving up to a railroad crossing, what are you supposed to do? Stop, look, and listen. If I was going to, maybe I should have made that the title. Stop, look, and listen. That's what Jesus wants us to do. That's what he said. That's what he told the disciples to do. He said, stop. You know, you're going to receive it. Look, pay attention, and listen. And that's what I think our instruction here. I really appreciate what the scriptures have to say, and I pray that it was helpful. Thank you.